So what are the updates?
Well, okay, so I guess before you went to vacations, I stopped in the part where I was trying to do the bright model, right? Based on an SSD with at this point, I don't know if that's true anymore, but the idea was that SSDs were doing this lock mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that you have this pool of free blocks, right? And you do locking all those like clean blocks, and then use after some threshold, you go pull the garbage collection, so new free blocks can be made for the next incoming write. Okay, so I did this model and actually sent my ideas to you, I don't know, a couple of weeks back.
Mm-hmm.
And the I was trying to account for.
So that was the paper that you sent to me, and
yeah,
I sent back comments.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that you have you account for the working set size of
mm-hmm.
Of what you were doing in the SSD, of the operations in the SSD. You account for that, and while also accounting the randomness of the data. Okay. So based on those two things, I was giving more weight or less weight to the cleaning overhead.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the idea is that if you have a small working set, or if your workload is mostly sequential, then you don't have much cleaning overhead, right? Okay. So the idea is that I start this when I implemented the model, and the idea is that I initialize this model with a pool of free blocks, right? And then I start. I don't remember very well, but I think I took some of the traces that we use for Borg. I think was probably the web traces, or probably no, actually it's the SVN trace. So the idea is that I run these traces in the simulator and see what you get me, and compare to what the SSD did with exactly the same workload.
Mm-hmm.
This was like the first validation idea.
Mm-hmm.
So it didn't look anything alike. So after that, I was wondering what's going on. So I did, again, the same experiment, but this time with traces from this benchmark that I did, that was to write, basically was write random 4K operations all over the SSD, and reply that again in the simulator, and again in the SSD to see what happened. And it turns out that also looks very different.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In the case of the simulator, it gave me some numbers that were really, really or overestimate how good the SSD is, was. So let me do the graph. I don't have the graph here, but it was something like this.
Mm-hmm. You can erase the graph.
Yeah. So the idea was that I had this graph. This was the response time in milliseconds, right? If you, and this was
shall
the
we turn on the light, yes, thanks.
And the number of the requests, right?
Uh-huh.
What was the sequence of requests? So the thing is that
did you also implement the garbage collector in your simulator?
I also implemented the garbage collector.
And you were doing the full merge versus partial merge as well?
Yeah. Let me see. No, actually, no, because I was not implementing any operation of the SSD. I just was you know, I was just accounting for the working set and how random it is. Because the thing is that if we do that,
then it's no longer a simple model.
Exactly, and it's not general.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are only, you know, simulating some specific cleaning, which is probably not true for all these. Okay? So the idea is that the benchmark was something like this. So first you have the first three, in fact it was, this was weird. And this always happens. You have this first request that is a little bit higher, and after that you go up, like in 1.5. And then you start having some operations between 1.5 and 3.
Mm-hmm. Right? This is the actual SNC number.
This is the actual SNC number. Till some point that it goes even up, probably to 30 milliseconds. Mm-hmm. Okay. Goes up, and down, and goes down. So the simulator that I did was something like this. So here, here, here. This is, by the way, this is 100 microseconds. Right? And, but this has a good reason. This is an odd number, but I don't remember very well. So, after this, it came, it went up like 1.3 seconds, and again, hold on. Like that. Yeah. First was like that, and then it goes up very high, and goes down again.
But of course, you understand why
these
numbers are in the simulator.
Of course. So the idea, the problem here is that I'm starting with, let's say, 1,000 blocks free, right? Which means that you can just write and go. And the writing is, I don't know, probably 100 microseconds. Second, I don't remember how computer is, but so the idea is that you need to fill all those blocks before you do your first iteration, right? And this is your first iteration. But it turns out that after you erase one block, that means that you have another, apart from the page you're trying to write, now you have some additional pages that can absorb the next incoming operations, that is, this number of operations, right? Till you fill the block. Like the size of the block. After you fill the block, that block, you need to do an additional iteration. Okay? And goes up again, and then you have, again, the same number of points, and goes down again, and at some point, you will have huge peaks, because it's now accounting this big window, right, where all the requests are are random, right?
Yeah. So here the model that you're implementing is the following, is that you start cleaning only if there are no clean blocks at all.
I start cleaning exactly.
Only when there are no clean blocks at all.
And
on the other hand,
and in this case it makes sense because I'm not leaving any gap between requests, which means that I don't have time to clean.
You don't
but rather clean only when I don't have more space to write to, right? Or more space available.
Yeah. On the other hand, what might be happening up there is if you clean when you reach a threshold of clean blocks. So if you have, say, 50 clean blocks, you start cleaning. And that cleaning operation can then go in parallel with the writing operation, affecting the latency of the write of not just one, but several write operations. Because you clean not one block, but several blocks at a stretch. So if your model takes that approach where you start cleaning when you reach a low water mark, and you don't stop cleaning until you reach a high water mark, then all the write requests that are coming in the intervening period are all going to experience high latency because there is a cleaning operation ongoing each time there is a request that needs to be serviced.
Okay.
So which is what might be happening up there in an actual SNC case.
Yeah, so this number, actually, and not realize that after I did the simulation, right? So you can see here, this is actually, it's not 1.5, this is 1.5. So if you see 1.5 is exactly the time to erase a block, right? Which means that before you serve this request, you have to erase the block. And this 3 means that you, even sometimes you have to erase 2 blocks in order to serve the request. Right? So that means that you, at least if you have a continuous random request, at least in this Samsung, at least in Samsung, you have to always erase a block, at least. Which was odd for me. I mean, why? If you have a log like FTL, why do you run in this kind of situation?
Hmm. That's a good point.
I'm not sure if it's part of what we discussed in the structure of JSON in the previous sessions. I thought it was that we agreed that this 1.5 millisecond and even a 3 millisecond represents the time of actually writing the data into the SSD, accounting for all the visual latencies that we have since the time you start measuring the response.
You mean the including the time in the CDLTA?
Correct. I mean, whenever this the D2C metric starts, you know,
That accounts for the serial TA time.
Right.
But it turns out, I was looking for the serial TM time overhead, and it turns out that it's in the order of microseconds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very low microseconds, it's less than 100 microseconds. Right? Which means that 100 microseconds from 1.5 milliseconds is not much.
I mean, that is also evidenced by looking at the first few points, which incur the serial ATA overhead,
right,
but are still really small. Right.
Exactly.
Well, there was a theory for catching at this few, the very first few I/O requests.
But even the caching must go through the serial ATA, because the caching would probably be inside the SSD.
Right.
Inside the SSD.
Right. I think at that point the bottleneck was not really the serial ATA latency, but rather the data bus transfer.
In what point?
Where we start having this 1.5 millisecond latency.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you are in the controller or somewhere in an intermediate buffer, and you need to transfer this into the physical unit.
So wait, so you're inside the SSD already?
Yes, but the data is not yet into the plane where the target, what the block or page is.
Okay.
So you need to transfer that data right through a typically
serial
box.
Okay.
So that latency is not included into the 200 microseconds.
That's true.
Which is only the time that takes to write into the.
Right.
So, I thought that we agreed that meeting that it might as well be that all these latencies add up to this 1.5 milliseconds. This was, in fact, motivated by looking at the graphs in the Sigmetrix paper, which was, in fact, very similar to your numbers, except that they were, like, better by really
one millisecond.
Perhaps less than that, fraction of milliseconds. They would get like 1.5 and 2 milliseconds at most.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the assumptions at the beginning was that every single write would occur in an erase operation. But then we said, I mean, the erase operation is 1.0 milliseconds alone, right? So the rest of the operation, you know, has to have some latency.
But it could be that the erase operation is overlapping with the other latency. If that is true, then the overall time should be 1.5 milliseconds. But even in that case, the 1.5 millisecond, whether it is possible that the time for transport, which is from the host to the serial ATA controller to the SSD device until it gets cached in memory, right? So all of that is in some sense transport, and finally the writing to the flash media could be separated out into a different operation. I don't think that that transport time is can be as high as 1.5 milliseconds. I think it should be much smaller than that, if I'm not mistaken. Because those first few data points incur the transport, and they are substantially smaller.
Yeah, but I think I was talking about the transport inside the SSD. I mean, after you already passed the serial ATA.
Yeah.
Inside the SSD for write operation.
Right.
So that we already know is 200 microseconds.
I think the 200 microseconds includes the bus, right?
No. Because for the bus, you have a specific time for each byte that you transfer.
Mm-hmm.
You have to multiply that by the number of by the page size.
Mm-hmm. But even in that case, I don't know, one of the data sheets here. So it says that this is one of the data sheets of this is one in of memorized.
Oh, no,
this is SanDisk. From SanDisk, there's a write page from time is 200 microseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the serial access is 25 nanoseconds.
What is the read?
Nanoseconds. That is per byte.
I'm guessing it's per byte.
Yeah, per byte.
You can say anything here. Yeah.
Yeah, we should multiply that times 4K.
4K, which is 100 microseconds.
Which is 100 microseconds.
So, in any case, so what is your theory about the 1.5 milliseconds, the erase operation?
It's
so
erase operation.
Each write
always happens.
Each write must wait for an erase operation, which doesn't make much sense.
Exactly.
So
at least with what we have in mind, right? And I mean, if that is true, then that means that because this is 4K, right? And 4K is a page size in the Samsung drive. So that's only 200 microseconds, right? So
200 microseconds plus transport, plus the transport into the SSD.
Let's say that 300 microseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So based on that theory, the rest is spent on the bus inside the SSD, which is, let's say, 1 millisecond.
Well, what is this bus inside the SSD? I don't understand. What kind of bus are you talking about?
It's the interconnect between the planes or whatever the units are inside the SSD and the
controller.
And the buffer and the controller. Yeah, or the buffer and the controller.
It is unlikely that would be such a high value. 1 millisecond.
Like 100 milliseconds?
Oh, like one
like
5 minutes
at a time?
I think
that for me there are two possibilities. One could be, or it's an block erasure, which is the one I think it is, or it can also be that actually we found that in some of the meetings is that the merging operation takes a lot of time, right?
Because the merging is part of the cleaning operation.
Right.
So it is, it's part of the cleaning. So you first do the merge, then you do the erase.
Yeah, but the thing is that, let's say, if you have, let's say that, I don't know if that's going to happen, right? But let's say that the Samsung device, the way it works, is that you have your block. And then you have a clean block, right? So you write this page. So it makes a copy because it doesn't have a page-wise operation. Right? So you do a copy of the whole block plus the page that you're writing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? In that case, you don't account for the or you don't need an erase operation, but you need to copy all the pages to another block,
mm-hmm.
which would take potentially a lot of time because you have for each page you have 100 microseconds of read and probably 200 microseconds of write, saying that you're not going through the bus because you use smart operations in the batch package. Right?
Now the first three are how many operations that are low latency?
Three. It's always a little
it could be that those are the three which fits inside the write buffer.
Exactly.
So the write buffer, and then you get a.
And that's exactly what is happening. And in the memory write is 26.
Mm.
Odd number. You know what?
The 26 to fit inside the write buffer, and then.
Yeah. And I know it's inside the buffer because I did some additional experiments. Actually, we haven't had any meeting for that. And the thing is that I did because last time. We said that okay, let's go and repeat the experiments of the Sigmetrix paper. Okay, so I actually did some of the experiments, not all of them. And the thing is that I did the sequential writes in the SSD, both in Samsung and Memorize. And before I wasn't doing it because I saw there was too much time between requests, so that probably would make the SSD to behave in a different way to what we want, which is back-to-back, right? But I checked the C2D timing, and it's very close to zero. In any case, it turns out that in the Samsung device, the sequential...
Can you use a different color so we know the difference?
Yeah.
The sequential write was mostly the same as this line till 1024 requests of 4K. After that, it goes up.
Even sequential,
because at that point is when you run out of buffer space.
Run out of buffer space.
Yeah,
in write buffer.
The write buffer. No, not the buffer. The write buffer.
So the write buffer for this is for the memory.
This is for Samsung. The memory is mostly the same, but it's 1536.
That's something that I don't understand. So, but I thought you had only three blocks.
Exactly.
In the write buffer.
But that's
three
in the case.
Pages in the write buffer.
Yeah, but that's
random.
Exactly, but that's in the case of random operations. So what I was thinking, and it's, I said that in the last meeting, is that the buffer of the SSD works in segments like the buffer in this, right, for each track.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and
I thought probably they have a buffer with three segments, right, and each segment with some number of.
So what is the case with memorize for the sequential?
In the memorize, you have same thing, like 100 microseconds all over straight line till 1536 requests, and then goes up.
1536.
Yeah. So. So I did I also did the because I didn't know if this was the buffer size. So what I tried was to, what I did was to did the same experiment, but now instead of 4K, I did 8K.
Uh-huh.
And it turns out that these numbers reduced by half.
Mm.
And if I do 16K, it's reduced by half again. Mm.
But that does not still tell you that it's the size of the buffer. That is not, that is not conclusive proof that.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't know. At least I don't know. I know that that in the sequential case, I can absorb at least this number of, or I can absorb exactly this number of bytes, let's say, before you go up and.
I guess the question is, what would happen if you have multiple sequential streams?
Yes.
In parallel, how many can you absorb?
I did an additional experiment.
Mm.
That was, okay, let's say that I have this, let's say that I assume that I have this amount of write buffer, right? So I did, now I think about this, kind of all experiments, I have to do the one that you're saying, is that I say, okay, let's say that you have, I don't know, this number of, segment buffer.
Yeah, you have to assume a set of segments and create so many sequential streams.
Exactly.
And then if, see if you re-add up to the same number of total pages.
Right.
And if you keep on increasing, then you have additional segments. If you increase again, you have additional segments.
Yeah.
Until a point where you cannot support all those cells.
That was my next experiment, but actually, it was an old experiment. I don't know how I come up with this one, but the idea is that it's a similar idea. What I have in mind is that to pick random places in this kind of matrix, right? So write all of them in random. So the idea is that if you have, if you really have a buffer, then that would result in a, in the same numbers than the sequential operation. Right?
I don't understand how that is.
So you have,
so these are the segments inside the write buffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you pick those blocks?
Randomly, right? So randomly. The idea is that I knew, I don't know, somehow I was thinking, okay, you have you know, 10 rows and n columns, saying that you have this size of a buffer, and you know in random you have 26, okay. Right, so that means that 26 is the number of rows you have,
mm-hmm.
and this number divided by this number of rows, of, sorry, columns.
Okay, and then?
So if I know that, I pick random places in this matrix and write to all the matrix.
Random places in the
like
you mean, how do you come up with the LBA for number one? How do you pick LBA for number one? Because you pick a logical block address.
I divide the SSD, the LBA space, in segments of M, of size M.
Oh, but that may not be how the write buffer is being managed. Write buffer may be managed to say, okay, from this point onwards, I have a sequential stream. And I'm going to start. It may not be aligned.
Mm-hmm. Say that again?
The write buffer may not be aligned to the segment size.
Okay.
In fact, there is no need for it to be aligned to the segment size.
Okay.
Right? Because if there is a sequential stream of pages that are coming in, I want to buffer them together, regardless of whether they are aligned to my segment size or not.
Okay. I see. So what you're saying is that because this experiment, this sequential experiment, I start this sequential experiment from LDA 0.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is that
regardless of which is the starting
if
LDA,
if I start from 1, it will give me exactly the same amount of
Same number of
hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of low latency.
Buffered pages. Yes,
buffered pages.
That's how you should design a write buffer. Right. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter where the stream starts from. If it's
okay.
sequential, it should be buffered sequentially.
I see. Okay. Yeah. In any case, okay, I see. So what you're saying is that if I have multiple streams or sequential streams, I should be able to, or I should have the same results in the sequential, as in the sequential case.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right.
So at this point we are still stuck with the validation of the model, right? We
yeah.
don't really have a model that actually matches no,
because,
anything that is real.
Because I saw that the buffer I found that the buffer was that important after I implemented the model and saw that we have these different or sequential case, we have a really different than curve than in the random case. So I did in the first one, I didn't take into account the
buffer,
right, the buffer, which now I know that it's very important.
So the paper that those guys published already figures out how the right buffer sizes, how many segments in the right buffer, and all. They do that in the paper.
They
calculate the buffer size.
Really?
And how many segments in the buffer?
They don't have in terms of segments. I think.
So you could use the same experiment.
Yeah, I'm trying to confirm it, but I don't remember how they have this. What experiment is that?
Yeah, maybe not. I think they only test the case when the device has or has not the cache.
They don't have something for calculating the right buffer.
The size of the cache, yeah, maybe not. And then you have the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
The mask.
Here it says from the figure SSDL seems to use a small buffer, 32 pages.
So I think that the separation between these big peaks is 32 pages.
Figure 4.
Right.
So here they're speculating the right buffer size based on that experiment. But this is only one sequential stream, so maybe it's just the size of a segment instead of the size of the entire right buffer.
Mm-hmm.
could be that. The SSV can also, the write buffer can also optimize to say if there is only one stream, then I use all the segments.
Mm-hmm.
For the same stream, because there is no other competing stream at this point. So, yeah. So one experiment which you could do is to have multiple sequential streams, and each
mm-hmm.
you increase the number of sequential streams. You start with one stream, you get this graph that you already have.
Mm-hmm.
Then you create two streams and issue both streams for both requests alternately. You see,
mm-hmm.
you issue one request for stream one, mm-hmm. one request for stream two, and one. Then one more request for stream one and the
mm-hmm.
next sequential location, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you increase to three and four and so on.
Yeah, I will also do the experiment of starting from, do the sequential writes, but start from LDA, some random LDA, and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's a good one too. Yeah. And that would either validate or invalidate the assumption that it doesn't matter the alignment.
Okay.
How sequential streams get absorbed,
mm-hmm.
which is what happens in disk drives. And I would expect the same thing to happen in SSDs, but I may be wrong. So we should validate that.
Okay.
I see. In any case, for you said that for both the Samsung and the MemoWrite, the graph looks similar, except that they started at different times, after a different number of blocks.
Yeah.
For the random writes.
Mm-hmm. For no, in the case of the random, the MemoWrite is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Because in the Samsung for the random, at some point it will start going up, right?
Like no. So when it goes up, does it come all the way down or it stays up?
No, it goes down, right? But it goes up again to 30 milliseconds.
Uh-huh.
Or 40 or something. Like that.
Now, is there a pattern there?
I don't see any pattern.
So it varies randomly between 30 and 1.5
mm-hmm.
after a certain point?
After a certain point.
Okay.
In the case
so
of MemoWrite,
mm-hmm.
they it varies from 0 to 1.5 milliseconds, more or less. I mean, they don't have those huge peaks, like 30 milliseconds. It's very stable in that sense.
So it stays between 0 and 1.5, not okay. between 1.5 and 3, then, as in the Samsung?
No.
Well, but one explanation could be that in the Samsung there is no log block at all. So each time you
yeah.
go through that transfer
exactly.
operation,
could be.
The copy operation.
And the SanDisk is the worst. It's something like at 75 milliseconds, it's a straight line.
Yes?
Yeah. Even you know some buffer here,
so that is very consistent.
Yeah, actually there are some peaks down and peaks up that repeat very
infrequently.
No, it's exactly in some points.
Mm-hmm.
In time.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I mean, it seems like a single model cannot capture all these behaviors.
Yeah.
So are we wasting our time?
But it would be nice.
Maybe no. I mean, we have identified many components, right? Like, when you don't have cache at all, which seems to be the case with the SanDisk, then all these factors going to be kind of, you know,
yeah.
zeroed out. From this equation or the set of equations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all, I think it's a still the combination of this many latencies as a consequence of, you know, going to different components still is a valid approach.
Mm-hmm.
It's only that we need to identify, I mean, those key components, which I think we already did. And now the problem is how to model them in terms of the impact they have in the latencies for both read and write.
Mm.
Especially write is the tricky part.
Mm. Yeah, I'm wondering how we can create multiple components to separate out these individual behaviors. So that when we make some of them zero, the behavior is reflected in the equation itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and well, at this point we don't have the Intel devices right now. I've read that the Intel devices have probably different.
Well, in this case, each of these three are totally different. So
yeah.
We just add one more, which is different.
Exactly.
It seems like the Memorite is the best performing of these three.
Yeah.
And SanDisk is the worst.
SanDisk
is somewhere in between.
Yeah. SanDisk, I would say that it's closer to... Sorry, Samsung. I would say that it's closer to SanDisk.
Mm-hmm. SanDisk may not even have a write buffer.
SanDisk probably doesn't have a write buffer.
That's why it starts right at the very top.
Yeah,
and then it probably does not have any logging mechanism.
Probably doesn't have any logging mechanism.
And
it's a raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So which means that our model has to account for SSDs where there is no logging mechanism and SSDs where there is logging mechanism.
Right.
In the case of the
Memorite.
In the case of Memorite, it seems like you have a logging mechanism because your latencies come back to zero.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes up when there is some erase that needs to take place, but then it goes back to zero or close to zero. When that log gets cleaned up, then subsequent write operations get absorbed.
Right.
And to me, it seems like if you don't have any logging mechanism, you have simple model, right? You just spend the time to read all the entire block and then change it and write it back, right?
Yeah, but
it's
even in that case...
Simple operation.
Even in that case...
Well, actually, erase and then write it back.
If you have that simple operation, then you will have a constant line, like in the case of the sand,
mm-hmm.
which probably makes sense.
Yeah.
Probably that's what is happening inside that SanDisk. But in the case of Samsung, it's different because you have this first set of requests that go from 1.5 to 3, and then it goes off to 30 milliseconds, which means that at some point something's happening.
It could be the cleaning. That in the first case, you don't have any cleaning. I mean,
but why, if you have...
In the Samsung case.
No, the erase in our...
But if you don't have logging mechanism, you don't need cleaning, right?
No, you still need cleaning. So for instance, if you have a few clean blocks, you have reserved blocks.
Oh, I see.
If you have reserved blocks, then you can read and write directly into that.
That's like, this case was a clean block.
Clean block, yeah.
So
but if you don't have any clean blocks,
you need to
do an erase operation.
So in this case, that means that in that case, you only do an erasure and you don't have merging. Because
so the
merging is done right away.
I would call it copying.
Alright.
It's just copying, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess it's merging also. But there is no erase operation. But the erase operation is 30 milliseconds, very expensive. So let me ask you what's happening here, because you haven't told me that. What's happening here is...
I have my laptop
point
here, which
like
is
this,
here
on the way. Yeah, if you can see the graph, that would be...
Yeah, let's see the graph, because we're going to give you some information. So at this point, I know that the write buffer is important, right? But that, I mean, after I model the write buffer, it's just half of the solution. Because after you pass the write buffer, you need to model the SSD angle.
Yeah.
So, okay, so let's see, for instance, the Samsung case, right? Okay. Well, in this case, this is the memorized, so mm-hmm. it's actually 14 milliseconds. So this is the 26 requests mm-hmm. that calls.
Okay.
And then goes up and down.
Okay, so this is certainly
I think the average was something like 3 milliseconds or so.
Or less. Are there any fixed number of operations between these peaks? It seems like they are very equally separated, these lines,
yeah.
these lines that are going up. And these are random lights, right? Random lights?
Mm-hmm.
So, see that there are 10 segments or something like that.
10
segments in the light buffer or...
But
or 10 pages within each block.
What happened between them?
This is what, 12 microseconds?
Milliseconds.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Seems like there is some equal separation, but it's not exactly 10. Right? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's less than that, sometimes more than that.
So how can we do 3 of them? Actually, it looks like the model I have, right? In the sense that you do some erasures and go down to the login again, erase again and go down.
No, so this should be the number of blocks in a single, number of pages in a single block.
Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. 10 pages, 4Ks or 4K blocks.
Or could it be that there is, at any point in time, there are 10 blocks that are being written into?
Okay.
And those, the goal is to write to each block sequentially.
Okay.
I mean, somewhat similar to, say, the write buffer segment. That could also be possible. So, in that case, if you... Since you're writing randomly, each time you perform an erase operation.
Yeah.
which is a suboptimal use of a log block. So you're not using the entire log block. You're using it as a segment which needs to be written sequentially.
Yeah, but the advantage of doing that is that
you
in case you actually have multiple streams,
you can do more switch merge. Yeah. Correct.
I read this somewhere,
This
kind of logging mechanism that you have multiple blocks for multiple streams.
Mm-hmm. Where did you read it?
I don't remember. Probably DFTL?
DFTL? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can find it, let me know.
Okay.
Because it certainly seems something which we might have to refer. Can we look at the Samsung?
Yeah. Samsung.
But they come back to zero, it seems.
At some point.
So it's not that they stay up there all the time.
You mean here in the 40 milliseconds? In the 30 milliseconds? No, it goes zero again.
Yeah.
Where is zero?
Oh, it's not going.
No, no.
So that's two.
It's 1.5.
Uh-huh.
And this is three.
Okay.
So now it goes down. After that, the low bound is 1.5.
And in the case of memorite, it's zero.
It's
lower bound.
200 microseconds, yeah.
Okay. After a certain point, it
goes up.
It goes up and for a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's zoom in on some area here.
Okay.
Yeah. A little bit more.
So the least value is 1.5.
And we're using the same controller for both, right? For both.
Yeah. We're using the same machine, same controller, same memory, everything. How much does it take to do this kind of operation? Would be,
let's assume that we have 32 pages, 64 pages.
It was 4K.
Say 32 pages.
4K and 256K block. So it was, 64 pages.
64 pages of read and 64 pages of write.
Right. Right. that would be
times 300.
Times 300.
Microseconds. That's about 1.5 milliseconds.
Exactly.
No.
It's 15 milliseconds. 15 milliseconds. 300 microseconds, right. 300 microseconds, right. 360 for about 15 milliseconds. That's 300 is only for writing. 300 is only for, no, 300, 200 is for writing. And 100 is for reading, right? No. How much is writing, 300?
300
was for what it was, it was 200 for writing actually, and then the 100 was for transferring the data.
Oh, transferring the data bus. On the serial bus. Oh, okay.
No, but I think there are some smart operations in there, inside the chip, that you can actually send commands like copy from this page to this page, without going to the controller. I think
and there are some circumstances when the pages are given on the same.
If they're in the same die, then maybe you can do that. But if they're in different dies, then maybe you cannot do that. Maybe you have to bring it into the controller and then send it out again.
Yeah.
Well, let's assume that, let's say 300 microseconds, the best case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Even in that case, it's 50 milliseconds.
It's 20 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 64 times 3 is 20 milliseconds. So, yeah, so that copy operation is 20 milliseconds.
Yeah, so that doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make sense. So it's not 1.5, it's a lot more. So what is 1.5 milliseconds? What can you do in 1.5 milliseconds? Yeah. Completely unpredictable figures.
It shall be the sequential.
Mm-hmm.
The sequential right, so this is sequential for Samsung.
That's very, seems to be very well behaved.
So in the case of the SIG matrix, this looks like the peaks they have.
Yeah, that is something we can model. So this is for
Samsung.
And Memorite looks similar.
Memorite, I don't remember, but I think it looks similar. It's a lot lower.
These peaks seem to be equally separated.
Yeah.
But there are some unusual behavior in between.
Mm-hmm.
And this on the y-axis is milliseconds?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's not that unusual, right? I mean, really low, it's a really small scale, so I'm just saying.
Okay. So which means that the erasures are less than a millisecond?
Yeah.
Something is weird about this device.
Yeah.
We should actually check if this device really works or not. Or it's just storing some junk or not storing anything at all and returning junk.
I can try that. I'm verifying what I wrote was accurate.
Mm-hmm. I'm just joking. I'm sure it's worth like. It's unbelievable.
No, but yeah, it seems like they do erasure
at some millisecond granularity.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it's not, because the thing is that the block erasure was 1.5 milliseconds. That's what the sheet says.
Mm-hmm. But it could be that they're erasing in one plane and writing in another plane.
Mm-hmm. That's true, yeah. That's probably what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So they always, if you write sequentially, they always have one clean block to write to.
Mm-hmm.
Or buffer space.
So at this point, it seems like the random writes are a gone case.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard. I am just trying to, you know, to think, even for the write buffer, which is so far I haven't been thinking basic. It's really complicated. I mean, trying to come up right with a model that I can model all the devices.
For the write buffer.
Even for a write buffer. Yeah.
So, I mean, if we assume a segmented write buffer and with similar to how it works in disk drives, I think we can figure it out reasonably easily.
Yeah, well, at least if we can model the write buffer, then we can give a model so that, you know, people can design their system to hit all of the buffers. I guess that's a good.
But that's not
right.
It's not possible because you don't have infinite write buffers. At some point, you will have to hit the flash memory.
Yeah. But for instance, in the case, I mean, what I found in the memorizer, if you do sequential, right, sequential writes, then you will have a very good response time.
Mm.
So if I find that with multiple streams, you can have exactly the same response time, that's probably good.
Mm.
So then the question is, how many streams like that can you do so that you can have that kind of response time?
Mm.
That
becomes an interesting question, because
right.
If you can then say something like, okay, if we design your file system in this way so that you have multiple streams, maybe some sort of log structure with multiple logging points.
Exactly. So, one thought I have, I think I read this paper this morning, was from ATM Communications, you know, the paper, I think was one from ICA, that was republishing ATM Communications. So, they said that by dividing the flash, well, in their case, they have raw flash.
Mm.
So it happens if they have exactly the written write, then they can reduce. I mean, they have half of the SSD for read and half of the SSD for write. Actually, this paper is related to the operator we're doing. So if you do that, then you can isolate the cleaning operations in the write part only. So you can reduce, you know, number of writes, you can reduce erase operations.
That is assuming that you do not read back the data that you wrote recently.
Yeah, I'm guessing that.
You do that, yeah, because otherwise
you have to write to the read part, right?
Yeah. Or you have to read from the write part.
Or you have to read from the write part, exactly. So I was thinking based on that idea, and probably based on this kind of you know, multiple stream things, what happens if you partition the SSD in 3D partitions and you create an LFS in each of them?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have now an LFS in each of them, and then you do a write field, right? So that one operation can can become three operations in the SC.
Okay.
So if you have something like the NCQ or the Intel, you can serve those three operations at the same time. So you can hire your throughput. You can increase your throughput. I don't know, that was probably again. Right, so the idea was to ensure that you always have multiple strings in the SSD, not only one.
Why not use a RAID 0 at the driver level instead of an LFS RAID 0? And so have a single LFS, but divide the RAID 0 at the driver level. Does that work similarly?
I think so.
You have to stripe across the logical box across these three parts.
And you probably can make the segment size of the LFS to be the stripe size.
Yeah, but I'm not sure what the gains are going to be. What if you have a single partition? How do you gain? Because then you write sequentially, or you write in parallel?
Exactly. I mean, the gain is that if you don't have that, then you will have only one string. Right? At this point, I don't know if that's good or bad. Because we have to do some experiments. But what I'm saying is that if you have this kind of configuration, then you can have multiple login points, which
will allow for sequence more parallel operation.
More parallel operation. Exactly.
That's interesting. If you remember the presentation of the Samsung guy in 2008, in that workshop, he had all the different file systems for SSD and also NIL-FS.
Yeah.
And he showed that NIL-FS actually does the best
for all the benchmarks.
For all the benchmarks.
Yeah.
But the question is, how does the sustained performance?
Exactly. That's my problem. What happens when you have clean? I read that recently, that presentation again recently, and I was thinking about doing an experiment that stressed the cleaning operation of
NIL-FS. Yeah, I mean, it would be sort of easy to do if you restrict the size of the partition to a small portion of the SSD.
That's what I was thinking. And doing some IO with a file size almost the whole partition. I read that NIL-FS will be included in the next Linux kernel release.
I think you read the same article. It was in Linux Magazine. Is that the one that you were talking about?
Yeah. That one. Actually, yeah. So that was the summary.
Okay, so, well, I guess the good thing is that we have some more data, and we have maybe some more ideas that how unpredictable this thing is. At this point, I'm a bit concerned about our paper.
Yeah, me too. I would like to submit to PRAC. At this rate, not going fast.
It's not going fast.
Right.
So, I guess, I mean, there are several things which we could do.
Mm-hmm.
We could just say, well, we understood enough about Flash. Now let's just try to apply some of the findings. We cannot do a full model because it's really unpredictable. And if anyone claims they have a model for random writes, we should probably worship them. but first check if it is actually correct. Maybe a smarter thing to do would be to just use some of those findings and apply it within a design like you are talking about,
right,
and do a really fast optimization paper,
right,
and something else. Anyway, we should, let's think about it more.
Yeah, I was also reading about this MTD thing in Linux, which is memory technology device.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is that they are including a new type of device to Linux. So they have hard device, they have flash device, and now they have MTD.
Mm. Because the latencies are really small.
Right.
And they want to have an optimized IO stack for that.
Exactly. And it's not only that, it's also, they also include this new operation, apart from read and write, they also include the read. At this point, I don't know where is the granularity of each one. Because in the flash, you know, the same granularity of read, right?
It's probably, no, I mean, what the erase would mean is a trim command. The trim command to inform the flash that, well, this block is not in use.
No, it's an actual erase of the flash. Because the thing is that they are targeting not block devices, they are targeting this kind of flash that doesn't have a controller, but instead the operating system controller, something like that. Or they don't have an internal controller like the SSD.
Okay.
So, I think the primary target of this stack is embedded system, where you don't have, you know, an intelligent controller to the flash, but
I
would rather have to manage the flash itself. You need to say when to erase the block, when to write, where to write, and so on.
Oh, okay. Okay. I understand. Okay.
And in fact, you cannot use the same file system for anything. They have their own file systems. I think there are two now. Parameters and UDFS.
Yeah, okay. So think about more creative ideas and how, I mean, maybe it would be a good idea to do a stress test on LSS.
Yeah, absolutely. I will do that.
And if it actually works or not.
Yeah, and I think the same presentation, this guy proposed, this guy also shows results for Butler effect, which is this new copyright processing. So it turns out that I have been reading about Butler effect, and they have, I don't know if you can format the file system, you can mount the file system with this option. But it's an option that is called minus SSD, which is primarily for SSD. So I should probably try that as well and see what happens. Because it's not only the MILFS, right? I think you could have a good performance with the flash in any copy and write file system. On the MILFS.
Okay, alright, so I guess we can communicate over email.
Sure.
And set up a meeting with Jason and...
Yeah, when can we meet? Next?
I'll be here on Thursday.
Okay.
But it's too soon, perhaps. We can meet next week.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Good.